The New Testament reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Well, you know, maybe you've paid attention throughout the years. I know I didn't until I went to seminary, and then, you know, I had to pay attention to these kinds of things. Every third year, the gospel readings come from John. And as one of my seminary professors was wont to say, John was not a man of a few words. John was a man of many, many, many words. So today, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Yeah, 41. But it's a great story, and there isn't any part of it that I didn't want to include. Here is the gospel lesson. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and he washed, and he came back and was able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some were saying, "Oh, it is he." And others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and I washed and I received my sight." And they said, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." The people brought this man to the Pharisees, who had formerly been blind. And now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to him, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received the sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how then does he see?" And his parents answered, "Well, we know that's our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how it is that he came to see, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age." I got to pause here for a minute. Don't you imagine this guy is going, "Oh, here we go again." Don't you? And the parents said, "He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" What a great question. And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Here's the astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when Jesus found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I love that story. I feel for the poor man who was born blind and now can see, though, don't you? Do you have a little bit of sympathy for him that he keeps being asked the same question over and over again? He only has one answer. "I'm giving you the answer I know. It doesn't matter how many times you ask me, the answer will always be the same. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. This was my experience." For so many of us, we want to have proof. We want to know all the details. How did that happen? How could that possibly have happened? Whether it's something good or something bad, we want to know the details. It would be great if we were all detail-oriented and we want to know the details because we want to make sure we get the story right. But more often than not, people who keep demanding the details are trying to catch you. They're trying to catch you in some little thing you change. And we know that if we tell the same story over and over and over again, there's going to be a time when we mess up a detail. One, we're just too darn tired of telling you again and again and again. Number two, it's the most important thing are not the details of the story. The most important thing is, "Once I was blind, and now I see. And now I see." This is a story about time. It's a story that reminds us of the before and the after. It reminds us of years ago and today, the history of what happens. It reminds us of always and then suddenly, the life-altering events. Every single one of us has had some kind of life-altering event. For those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that was a life-altering event. But there have been many more. Sometimes they're tragic, sometimes they're ecstatic, sometimes they bring us to our knees, and sometimes they help us to shout with joy. And so often, we can't explain it. Sometimes we can't explain it because it's all so great and so many things were rushing at us at once. I get that. If you've ever talked to somebody who has been in a really bad traffic accident, they always tell you, listen the first time and then don't keep asking. Because we tell the story over and over again and then we start to doubt what we believe. I can tell you what I remember, but I may not remember it the same way because it was too traumatic or it was too much of a thrill or it was, I've just been through so much. It's our stubbornness that wants to catch people sometimes. We want to catch people so that we can reject everything they've said before. Remember that time? But in this story, what we know, or what we can be pretty sure of, this man was not blind due to sin. Jesus rejected all the attempts to explain his blindness. It just happens. If you've ever had somebody in your life who was born with some kind of abnormality, or what we would consider an abnormality, it just happens. When I was teaching school, I had a young woman who was born with one leg much, much shorter than the other. And so all the way through elementary school and middle school and most of her high school career, she lived on crutches. And her leg was propped up so that she could, because they couldn't do anything about it until she had reached full growth. She was amazing. She was faster than almost all the other girls, and she was on crutches. She was incredible. She was never absent. She was always there. And this is the thing that I loved about her. She was so positive. She didn't, I'm sure there were times, maybe when she was at home with her family or maybe at night, there were times when she was weary of the way that she lived that was so different from everyone else. But I'll tell you, you never saw that at school. You never saw that when she was out on the playground with her friends. This is how I am. And no matter how many times somebody would have asked her, how did that happen to you? She wouldn't have had an answer, just like this man. I was born blind and I was just going along doing my thing and I didn't even know. And all of a sudden, now I can see. What is it? What is it? Our curiosity, our naggingness. But this is what we know. Here is the irony in this story. This man received his sight, and at the same time, almost everyone around him lost theirs. Now, they didn't lose their physical sight, but they lost their sight in being able to rejoice in not being able to rejoice with this man. He grew up in that village. They've known him forever. Why weren't they celebrating? We don't have to know the details. They didn't send him to some clinic halfway around the world. They didn't have those then. He received his sight and everyone else lost theirs. Not their physical sight, but their sight to believe and to understand. I don't have to know why. I'm just so thrilled that you can see. I don't have to know the details. I'm just so glad that you get to see the colors that we see now, that you get to see the sunrise and you get to see the stars at night and the moon, not just hear it being told. And then there's a piece of this that really is not about the physical sight. It's about the capacity to believe and to understand and not need a bunch of explanations. The same thing happens in our Christian life. We don't need to know the history of the horrors in the past. Maybe it's good that we do know some of them. But here is the thing. When God comes to us, when Jesus comes into our hearts, Jesus is looking with eyes of faith. And is looking to see that we have eyes of faith. That's what it is. There are particular events that God is working around and through and within so that God's purposes can be accomplished. This man is one of them. Most of you, all of us, are also part of God's plan. There is something that God can use in us that helps others understand the love of Christ. This poor man was failed by almost everyone in the community. His parents were fearful. And they could not overcome that to be joyful for their son. The community and the religious authorities needed answers, and they didn't accept just what he said. And all of them backed away from this man. And yet, he continued to witness to the truth. It's just like the words of Amazing Grace. I was saved, amazing grace saved a wretch like me. This is a story about time. It's a story about something that was lost and then was found. And it doesn't matter whether it's your sight or a coin or our faith. It's important. And so this story is for us today as well. Do we believe in miracles? Well, it is basketball season. Some of us do believe in miracles on the basketball court. But do we believe in the miracles that happen around us, that where God is asking us to open our eyes and see what's going on? Sometimes the key is if it makes a difference in our life. And yet God says, I am with you, I will guide you, and I will lead you through. Every single one of us, every single one of us has a before and after story. Some of us may not realize it, and some of us may not even have been paying attention when it happens. But we had a story about how we used to live our lives and how we live our lives now. And hopefully that before and after story makes life better, not just for us personally, but for our community and for the people of God, who pretty much are everyone in this earth. I've been told that we will never look in the eyes of someone that God doesn't love completely. And if I can learn to do that, oh, how much easier my life would be. I'm trying. I think I'm getting a little bit better every day, but I'm trying. This is a story about blindness. Maybe we'll need to learn how to encounter blindness so we see the before and the after. Maybe we need to be able to see, once I saw the world like this, but now I see possibilities. I don't just see gloom and doom, and I don't just worry every morning when I get up and think, oh, I don't even think I can face the world today, because it makes me so sad. There are possibilities around us all the time. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's the things we believe. Once I believed this, but now I believe this. That's what happens when Jesus is guiding our steps. We change the way we think. We change the way we act. We change the way we interact with each other. Once I saw the world like this, once I believed this, and once I lived in a place that now I see, I was blind to so many things. I don't have to be physically blind to be blind. What are the events that have happened to you that have opened your eyes to the possibilities of God? What are the things that have happened to your life that remind you that this world is a world of love and compassion and not fear and anger? Oh, there's fear and anger here because we're human. But how we look at situations and how we react to situations can bring the love and compassion of Christ to who knows how many other people that have never known that before. May our eyes be open. May we see the light of the world here in our midst. May we share that light with everyone around us. May we know that the light of Christ glows in us. And as one poet says, the light is inside of us, and it is beaming through our fingertips, through our eyes, through everything we see and do. Once I was blind, but now I see. Praise God, and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.